This podcast is a ministry of Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. For more information, go to www.berwynag.org.
It's been a long time ago since I was a young, long-haired church planter that came to Cicero, Illinois. This morning, we have the privilege of hearing from a young, long-haired church planner, and he's making it work there. I have to say I was a little bit envious when I found out that they own several buildings, but one of the buildings he bought for $7,000, which is just about what we paid for this place, if you remember. So I'm going to invite Jay to come on up and share the word and his heart and his ministry. And I want you to remember where we were or where we weren't. And I believe God has a message he wants to speak to us. Listen, over the last few weeks, we've been seeing missionaries who have been called out of the middle of their life or from a child. God can speak to you no matter what age you are. And he can challenge you to do things that you never thought you would do. And Jay has a history of success in ministry, and I believe in his ministry there in East St. Louis. Jay, would you come and minister the word with us? Come on.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? Y'all know what Teen Challenge is? Anyone know what Teen Challenge is? I'm a 1991 Teen Challenge graduate. Did 3 years of Master's Commission. 4 years church plant, Southeast Washington, D.C. That was a rough area. When I left out of D.C. in 2004, 64 homicides committed in our immediate neighborhood. And now we're in East St. Louis. The reason I'm in East St. Louis is because for 25 years, no Assembly of God Church. So that's a reason enough right there. To go into a Baptist predominant city and plant a Pentecostal church. Need we never forget who we really are if we're Pentecostal? That we do possess the power of God. And that's a gift. That's a gift to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's a gift. And that's a private prayer language between you and God. And the devil can't interpret. And that's the reason why he fights so many churches to preach that. Well, we got a lot of Assembly of God churches that don't believe in that. And probably they should probably change their name. Because we paid a price for this, and we're still paying it. But we're in East St. Louis. When I got there 3 years ago, no staff, no buildings, didn't know anybody. This is a raw vision church plant. Today, 6 buildings, 3 full-time staff, pastors. They're indigenous. They didn't move from other cities. They are from East St. Louis. That's a feat all in itself that only God can do. A couple part-time pastors. We just was given a sanctuary that seats 300. We shut it down, gutted it out. We're almost finished with it. And here in the next 3 months, we'll plant 2 more churches out of it. And we're really a church-planting mechanism. That's really what God's called us to do. Matter of fact, that's what God's called you to do. Right, God didn't call you to sit on a pew and keep that thing warm and pat a cake with Jesus until it comes back. Although we have a lot of churches that are like that. We have a lot of churches that are asleep. And in this hour, we need to be awake and we need to be aggressive. And we need not make any apologies. Because there are people that are perishing at this hour. There are people that are bound to chains and they're held in bondage and they're on their way to a devil's hell. And we as believers, we as Christians have the answers. We have the power. It's not just the pastors that possess the power of the Holy Ghost. If you're a believer, then you've been given power. That demons in the name of Jesus are bound. That demons are submissive to you, not because of who you are, but because of who takes residence inside of you. Just at the very name of Jesus, demons tremble. And then you start talking about the blood. You know where the most non-discriminatory place is? It's at the cross. because the ground is level. No matter if we're rich, poor, doesn't matter. We all have to do one thing, and that's bow our knees before the cross and submit ourselves to Jesus. And that's what we are. We're a church playing mechanism that's very aggressive. And we don't apologize because we're after the souls of men. In our city last year, we have 31,000 people. We had 31 homicides. That's very high. Where our buildings are located, we get our buildings really cheap. But the reason is because our neighborhood is very blighted. Within a 2-block radius of where our church is at, everything around us is either boarded up, barred up, burned up, or tore up. Just a block away, we have a hotel that's a brothel. We got crack addicts on every corner. We got crack dealers. And where's the church at in all this? Because I've been plugging away 3 years. I don't see a whole lot of churches out there plugging away with us. Because the American church has this mentality that if we're going to see revival, God will just send the unsaved, the sinners into the house, and we'll see Him do great things. Friends, let me tell you something. When Jesus did His ministry, more of it was done outside the walls of the building than inside. And it always seemed like when He was in the inside, He was always casting devils out of people. And who did He select when He picked His 12 disciples? He didn't go to 12 churches and say, let me get some church people. He went and got some dirty, rotten, stinking sinners. Tax collectors and fishermen. But do I need to remind you this morning who put Jesus on the cross? It wasn't the sinners that put Him on the cross. It was church people. That old, nasty, traditional, religious spirit, it's still alive and well in the church today. And that spirit is the very thing that causes the Holy Spirit not to be able to move in the church. Because we want everything superficial, artificial, packed up in a box. And if it's out of the box, that means it's not of God. But let me tell you, God does stuff out of the box all the time. He's an out-of-box God. His thoughts and His ways are not ours. And He'll go to great lengths to save somebody. And that's what He wants to do. He wants to use His church to reach unsaved people. You know what the beautiful thing is? You don't even have to have a degree. He's at a place right now where He doesn't really care. Just as long as you're saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost. And you have a willingness to serve, then He'll use you. I know, because He's using me. And believe me, I don't have it all together. You know, I think of James Arrington. This is a guy that, he's a big boy, 384 pounds. This is a guy that's a crack addict, living in a burned out building 500 feet from our church. I remember meeting him. He came to the church on a Saturday, and I just happened to be down at the building. He knocked on the door, and I'm looking out the door, and I'm thinking, who is this guy? You know, because there's a reason I keep the doors locked sometimes. I mean, when we started a church pastor, I had a baseball bat underneath the pulpit, right? Because when I'm down there by myself getting everything started up, some knuckleheads show up and they get crazy on me. I get a little crazy back. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm looking at this guy. He's like, man, this is a big boy. And I unlock the door. I say, hey, what's up? He says, are you the pastor who gives people something to eat? I said, I am. You see, because when I came to East St. Louis, God told me, He said, I want you to feed the homeless. He said, you feed them and you clothe them. You love them. He said, if you'll do that, He said, I'll give you the city. And so that's what we've been doing. I mean, Jesus loves the very heart of the poor. And He'll take the riches of corporations and the riches of people to further and to supply for the ministry. I mean, that's what we're a debt-free ministry. With all these buildings and renovation and everything that's going on, it's amazing how Jesus just keeps sending people to do the work. And so James comes in, I give him something to eat, and I said, "Where are you homeless?" He said, I am. I said, where do you live? He said, I sleep in the building next door to your church. And I said, do you need some blankets? He said, I do. So I gave him some blankets and just, you know, sit down, talked with him. You know, I didn't like try to poke John 3:16, slap a sticker on his head, try to get him saved and kick him down the assembly line. Right? That's what we do. Well, hey, chalk it up. We want somebody to Christ, you know. We're all about numbers. Let me tell you, success is not in numbers. That's what the American church says, that if you can pack a church out, you've been successful. Well, let me tell you something this morning. 10% of ministry is on Sunday morning. 90% is up through the week outside the doors of the church. This is just where we get together and have fellowship and build relationships. You know, this isn't the true ministry. True ministry is being out there where the sinners are and trying to persuade them to come to know Christ. And so James came in, we did small talk, and I said, James, I said, we have church tomorrow at 11 o'clock. You're more than welcome to come. He said, look at me, Pastor, you said, I'm all dirty. I said, we're come as you are, church, James. I said, I'll come over there and knock on your window, right? Because I knew where he was living. And so about 10 to 11, you know, I went over there, and he was sleeping in this room that was burned out. I mean, I could see him right there. I wanted to take a picture, but I didn't want to offend a brother. And he was on milk crates, on cardboard boxes, covering up with blankets. That's America. That's people right there. That's what we see. And the churches say, we don't want that kind of guy in our church. What does he have to offer? I mean, he'll stink our church up. He's dirty. What's a man like that have to offer? It doesn't matter what he has to offer. It's what Jesus has to offer. Jesus has salvation. He also cleans up people. And so he did. He came to church, and we went out and bought him. I mean, he wears size 54. You know, it's not like I got 54 pants in the clothing room, you know. So went to Walmart and got him some sweatpants and just began to love on him. And I told the pastors about a month into, I said, guys, I really feel like God wants us to put him in a hotel. And the three pastors said, you know what, God spoke to me about the same thing. And so on Saturday, I took him to Hardee's. I said, James, get what you want. That joker ordered two value meals. Took him to the hotel, paid his bill. Pastor Eddie went over, brought him a shaving cleaning kit, and Shamika brought him over some sandwiches. And he rededicated his life to Christ that night with Pastor Shamika and Eddie. And came to church the next day. And man, that brother had a shout that came out. He was like a firecracker. Boy, that guy was lit up, you know. You got some people are just radical, fanatical. And this guy was lit up. He was on fire for God. And he told the pastors, he said, you know, he says, I need to get out of the city. He said, can Pastor Jay get me in Teen Challenge? And so the next day I took him to Teen Challenge. And that was in October 2006. November, he called me. I was heading to... I was heading over to Kentucky to preach at a church that night, and James called, and he said, hey, Pastor, he says, James, I said, what's up, James? He said, I have a question for you. I said, what's that? He said, would you adopt me as one of your sons? You guys, 43, you know, I was 36 at the time, you know. And like, James, I said, you know, I don't know if that's going to fly, you know, when you come out, if I adopt you, and you're like living at my house, you know, my wife may have a little problem with that, you know. And he's like, no, Pastor, not in the physical sense. He said, would you adopt me as one of your spiritual sons? When I come out Teen Challenge, can I be one of your pastors? See, that's why we're there. Who cares about building names? You know, when you get to stand for Jesus, your name don't count anyways. It's about reaching the future apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It's about reaching these guys on these corners that the church says is not worth anything. James Arrington graduated from Teen Challenge October 2007. Now he's on staff at Teen Challenge, PR Teen Challenge. See, that if nothing else happened with the work in East St. Louis, that right there says it all. Just that one thing. But you know what? That's not the end of the story. Because we're seeing God do incredible things. Miracles, signs and wonders. We can document them. We see them. Demon possession. We don't see that in the American church. But let me tell you, come down to East St. Louis, you'll see it. We had a church team from Kentucky. We had prayer meetings that go 2 or 3 hours on Thursday nights. Holy Ghost shows up. And you know, you just have a good time. You're basking in the presence. This guy walks in and wants to be prayed for, and so the pastors begin anointing with oil, and the guy levitates an inch off the ground, and then he slams down to the ground for an hour, manifests three different demons. Right? Bible college doesn't really teach much on that stuff, you know. That's why you got to go to the Word, man. It's in the Word. It's the Word. You stand on the Word. You know, and God, the Holy Spirit will teach you how to deal with those things. But that's what we deal with. You know, we're really, I told you we're radical. You know, I am Pentecostal. You know, and the reason I have my hair is because it's cold out there today, and I like to keep my head warm, you know. I mean, my biggest, we have to fill out these reports. It goes to the district office, and then it goes out to Springfield. And so I put on a prayer request. I said, I'm praying for the anointing of God to touch my head so my hair will grow. You know, and I mean, I was being serious. You know, I like my hair. You know, I don't. You know, it's I'm haven't had a haircut in a year. You know, because I'm trying to keep it combed down to keep that spot from showing. You know, just being real with you this morning, but and it does help. I had Pastor Bob with me, and Pastor Bob, he's clean cut. You know, I mean, this guy, he just looks like a IRS auditor or something. Right, and so we had to do a home visitation in one of the housing projects, 8:30 at night. And so when I pull up, you know, there's crack dealers in the van. And I looked at Bob as we got out because there was no lights, so I didn't know where these people live because they have no street address on their apartment. And so I asked the little crack dealers where they're at, and they didn't know who they were. And as we walked away from them, I said, Bob, it's moments like right now that I'm glad I got my hair. Because it makes me just look crazy, you know. These guys don't know what to think. But, you know, in all seriousness, you know, we have this big 17-foot cooker. And you know where we go? We take our cooker. We go to the crack houses. I love to hang out at the crack houses. Now, I'm not an addict, but I just love to hang out there because the people that are there. People are lost. People are dying. You know, I've learned one way to get to a man's heart is through his belly. Right? You want to get to the heart? Get to the belly first, right? And they'll listen to you. And, you know, we've seen just through that aggressive evangelism of going to the crack houses, I've seen God transform people. See, we're a transit society. God gets them saved and changes them, and then they move. They leave, which I'm all right with that. And then I look at the young drug dealers, the gangs. We don't have national gangs. We got crews, block crews. I look at some of the corners where there'll be 10, 15 of those guys, and they're hanging out. And I think, where are the churches at? You know where they're at? They're scared. They're scared. These are African-American people. They're scared to go on those corners. You know what? They're not sold out. They still love their life. Because if they're sold out, their life wouldn't matter. And Jesus, he even challenged us on that. I remember the first time I pulled up the van with the cookers, about 15 guys hanging on the corner. They're shooting dice, they're drinking, they're smoking weed. Cars are pulling up there, some crack out the cars. And I pulled about 20 feet up, and I shut the van off, and I said to the pastors, I said, you guys ready? Pastor Tommy, you know, he's black. He says, ready for what? I said, we're getting out. I didn't come here to build a church with 50 people and patty cake. I came here to reach people. Yeah. Guys, if we take the worst places in the city, then the rest of this will be easy. I said, let's go. And Tommy's like, are you serious? I said, yeah, I'm dead serious, Tommy. Of all of us in the van, you should be the ones least likely to be scared. You're a brother. You're a brother, you know. I mean, I said, I tell you what, I make it easy on you. You guys fire up the cooker and just do this when the food's ready, right? And I'll go over there and I'll just hang out with them. You know, in all seriousness, that was really bizarre. I mean, that's definitely out of my comfort zone to go hang out with about 10 or 15 guys. I don't know who they are, but I know what they're doing. And they don't know who I am. And they're thinking, is this guy a cop? What? Who is this guy? And I'm not talking, I'm not saying anything, I'm just watching them. And then Tommy's like this, you know. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Sometimes it seems like the rapture is going to take a while. Well, go on a corner and hang out with a bunch of guys you don't know, and it seems forever. And I said, guys, we got some stuff over there on the grill. I got Smokies, I got hot dogs, I got sausages, I got chips, I got drinks. And I cooked that up for you guys. And one of the guys like, what? You cooked it up for us? I said, yeah, it's free. They're like, it's free? I said, yeah. I said, Jesus paid the price in full. That's where monthly support goes. Feeding people, clothing people. And that's what I was thinking. They didn't know what I was thinking. And all those guys from that corner Went right over there to that cooker. And those guys aren't bad guys. Because after they got done eating, they were saying thank you. Doing the handshake jive thing, the hug thing. The hug thing with the shoulders, you know. White people like the hug, brothers just like the bump, you know. I've learned to bump, and I've learned to jive, and I've learned 100 different handshakes. It's being culturally relevant. That's why the Assemblies of God hasn't been effective. Because we march into the city, we bring our Assembly of God tent, then we try to pop it up, and people are looking at you like, what are you doing? I mean, it took us 2 years to even plant the church. Because I said, for the first 2 years, I'm going to wait for God to give me staff, I'm going to wait for us to get buildings, and then I'm going to wait for us to have relationships in the city. And when it's right, when the time's right, God will make this thing happen. Our first building, two buildings, $15,000 what we bought it for, 2,500 square feet. Our second building, old restaurant, 2,600 square feet, $11,000. Our third building, a 2,000 square foot brick building, $7,000. That'll tell you how bad our neighborhood is. Nobody wants to be there. And so, man, I'm just like buying them properties up. And I'm not even buying them. Churches call me and send me checks. And I'm not even calling anyone asking them. When we took the Washington Park Church, and the district owns title, that's their church. And I've never once have I called churches and solicited for churches to give us money. I don't even talk about money. I talk to Jesus. I said, Jesus, you gave us this building, and now I need $30,000. And I said, you got the money, Jesus. He's the one that said he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. I didn't say that. He said it. See, sometimes we want to compromise and not take him at his word. But if you take him at the word, even though the circumstances don't look like it's going to happen, if you'll stand on the word of God and you'll trust him and believe him, brother, he will bring it and he will make it happen. And sometimes it may cost you something. Because when I said, I need $30,000, he says, then send $5,000 to the National Church Plan Conference. And it wasn't, well, let me pray about it. Right? That's, God speaks to you. Oh, let me pray about it. Don't pray about it. He just told you to do something. It's his anyways. If you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful much. If you can't be faithful in little things, you're not going to be faithful in the big things. That's why some people never grow. Or you're holding on to something, you're just struggling, give it up. I've learned it's more blessed to give than receive. The more you give, the more you get. That's true. And I'm getting ready to tell you that's true, because after we sold that $5,000 to the National Church Plan Conference, then I went and spoke at a church of 125 people. And the pastor gave me a check for $5,000. And I thought, wow, God, you're so faithful. That's just the start of it. That was the countdown. There's five, now I need 25. On Tuesday, as I was looking through my paperwork from Springfield, I noticed this church in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Well, I don't know anyone in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. But somehow they got to know about us because they picked us up for $100 a month, and then they sent $5,000 into our account. Wow. And so first thought was, you know what, I think I might have someone else's money. And they're a missionary. Maybe they messed it up because at the time they were transitioning some of their workers, so someone put a wrong number in there. And, you know, if that was my money and someone else had it, I'd want it. So I thought, let me do the right thing. So I called Springfield, and I asked them, I told them I got this, and they said, no, that's right. It says on their construction. I was like, look at you, Jesus. Let me tell you what God does. Sometimes he's up there sitting on the throne. He'll flex a little bit. He flexes. But you know, but do you know what most church people think? They think, and even sinners, they think God's up on the throne with a whipping stick. And that is not who He is. He's a flexing God. But He only does it if you're obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And so I was like, man, look at this. Wow. Man, God, I mean, you are showing up and showing out. Friday, I get a phone call from some guy named Larry Collins. Anyone know Larry Collins? I don't either. He calls me and he says, hey, hold on. It gets better. He calls me and says, are you Jay Covert? I said, I am. He said, my name's Larry Collins. I'm with the Full Gospel Fellowship. He said, our church closed and we sold our property. And we were in prayer who to send some money to. We came across an Assembly of God church and they told us about your ministry. Did you get our check? I said, no, I didn't get your check. He said, we mailed out last week. He said, it's certified. Could you go and see if it's there and call me back? Went down to the post office, checked it. It was there. Check for $5,000. There's $15,000. That was in 1 week, you know, because that's how God works. I had a pastor call me up. He said, hey, could we bring our church board over to your ministry and see your ministry? I'd like for you to vision cast to our board members. I was like, bring them. So I emailed all the pastors and said, all hands on deck today, guys. Because I got a great crew and it's all God stuff, you know. And they know the vision just as well as I do because we're creating our vision together. And so I said, guys, don't be bashful, step up. And so this pastor meets me at Walmart, jumps in the van. We go to Washington Park Church. They see the church. We cast the vision. Then we took them to East St. Louis, show them the church over there. We cast the vision, take them back to Walmart, drop them off. The phone rings 45 minutes later, and the pastor says, hey, we had a board meeting in our car. We're going to give you $10,000. There's $25,000. Now, this is about a week and a half into it. Don't tell me God's not real. Don't tell me that things operate and things are coincidental because there's no coincidence in God. Things happen according to your obedience and according to your faith. Those are two key ingredients of seeing God move. And if you can't operate those, then, man, you're just going to be like everybody else just sitting on a pew hugging that thing. Get a phone call from a church. Central Assembly of God in Springfield, Missouri, the Mecca, right? That's the grand poobah of them all. They call and they said, we'd like to bring a work team to East St. Louis. I said, well, we have a pretty strict policy that if we don't have a service with you or you don't support us, you're not coming. Because what happens is it bumps the supporting churches out. Right? We've hosted over 200 church teams in 3 years. I got 26 on the calendar right now. He said, well, we're going to bring $5,000 with us for building materials. I said, when do you want to come? And I said, thank you, Jesus. Because there's that $30,000. Just like that. In the most unusual ways. Just the God things. And, you know, I don't know why I shared that with you this morning, because I usually don't share that type of stuff. But I do know this, that God is able. And He does desire to pour out His Spirit. And He doesn't want to go back to Azusa Street. He doesn't want to go back to Brownsville. He wants to create something new. And so the question to you is this morning, are you ready? Will you pay the price? Because it will pay you something. It will cost you something. It not only will it cost you something, you will have to sacrifice. It's not money. It's your time. Much time in prayer and fasting. If you really want to see a genuine move of God. Because outside the walls of this building this morning is a harvest field. That harvest field is a battlefield. And there are people right now, they're dying. And every building's people. The buildings will perish, but the souls of men will not. And the Lord would say to you this morning, what are you going to do about it? How will you reach this city? He's sitting up on throne. He's ready. He's got a legion. He's got an army of angels. He's ready to dispatch them into this area to reach the people here. But in a sense, he has his hands tied. I mean, he could do it. In a snap of a finger, he could save this city. But he chooses not to because he chooses to use you. So if you have enemies in this room today, you better go ahead and mend your ways. Because he will not show up and do things if there's animosity and craziness in the church. One accord. That's what happened upper room. They were all in one accord. They were there for many days. It wasn't, oh, let's just go do church for an hour, a little dab-a-doo, yeah. So that's the problem. That's why people don't get healed. That's why God don't move in the church, because we have this annoying little dab-a-doo-ya stuff. That stuff does not work. It costs time. It will cost your life. If you really want to see God move like he wants to move, it will cost you something. I think about the prostitutes in our city, because we do have a major prostitution problem in our city. I mean, I drive by them all the time. I drive by the prostitutes. And I said to God, I said, God, I can't reach them. It doesn't look good, you know, when the pastor of urban outreach pulls up to talk to a prostitute, you know. It just does not look good. You know, it's funny. We're at the hotel Friday night, the brothel, Pastor Shamika. God sent her. She's the prostitute to the women's. It's so funny. Here we are. They're in there doing ministry, and this SUV pulls up, unmarked, right? East St. Louis police and two FBI agents in there. And they're like trying to figure out what 15 white people are doing at the brothel. So try to tell him we're just feeding people, just loving people. But you know, that is the heart of our ministry. That is the heartbeat. You know, I wasn't even there last week when Jesse came to church last Sunday morning. Jesse's been coming. He's come a couple times on Tuesday nights. He hasn't accepted Christ. You know, we're not pushy Christians. But he came last Sunday. Jesse's homeless. I can take you and show you which building he lives in. Jesse came last Sunday morning. He brought his girlfriend. Her name's Heather. She's white. She's a prostitute. She tricks up and down Exchange Avenue. They came to Urban Outreach Church last Sunday. Conviction of the Holy Ghost was all over them as Pastor Tommy was preaching the word. And when he gave the altar call, they both came forward. And they accepted Christ. And when they accepted Christ, it wasn't a little, let me say a prayer. It was weeping. They were broken. I think of some of the people that come into our church. I think of this one man. He's a homeless man. He came in. He's sitting in the back. He put his head up against the wall. And when he left, there's a big black stain on the wall. And one of the pastors said, we got to clean that up. I said, don't do that. I said, that's the anointing of God right there. I said, if we clean that up, then what's going to happen later is we're going to say, we don't want those kind of people here. Leave it and just let it wear itself out. It took about 3 months for that stain to wear itself out of the wall. But that's who we are. We're a church playing mechanism. We're an aggressive movement. We're a God-called people to reach the unwanted. You know why? I need partners. Monthly partnership, that's what I need. We have an invitation right now to go to Louisville, Kentucky. If I had the workers right now, I have a church in Louisville, Kentucky. Somebody got a church that's ready to buy us a building. The district's behind us. The superintendent, his whole district staff, and four pastors June 15th came to East St. Louis to spend a day with us. They were broken. They left out. They've called twice. When are you going to come plant church here? That's on the radar. Gary, Indiana, that's on the radar. Gary, Indiana, I want to plant church there. That's been on my heart for several years. And I'm hoping that Tommy will launch out and do it. That's who we are. That's what we do. I want to close out with this video. Go ahead and show that video.
Mm-hmm. St. Louis is a city of 31,000 people. 2005, 23 homicides. 2004, 26 homicides. You can drive through the city on any given day, and you'll see hundreds of men throughout the city standing on the corners. It is the highest arson county in the state of Illinois. There was no Assembly God Church in East St. Louis, and back in the day it had a rich heritage of a couple Assembly God churches, but those churches shut down and left.
Hey, Jay Covert, U.S. Missionary in East St. Louis. And right now we're staying on the East St. Louis side of the river. And East St. Louis is a city of great potential.
Those connections, building a trust with the people on the streets. Those are the people that are hurting. Those are the people that are hungry, and those are the people that are being victimized.
And one night, I never forget, it was about 2 or 3 days, just high on drugs, and I came home, and I came home late on the couch, and so I tried to go to sleep. And when I tried to go to sleep, I could hear this voice telling me, you're gonna die. So I laid back and I remember I'm just shaking and everything, and all of a sudden I heard another voice told me, if I allowed you right now, if I wanted to send you to hell, I would. But because I'm a merciful God, I'm gonna save you. And he told me just to relax and rest. Now mind you, I was 3 days full of drugs and alcohol. When he told me to go to sleep, when I woke up, no desire for alcohol, no desire for drugs, no programs, no nothing. But God healed my body. Feeding the homeless. Winning souls to Christ. That's what we do. That's what we do. That's who we are.
We do like the prostitution ministry. That's where we go inside the hotels. And this one particular hotel we went inside of, we would come in there bi-weekly and we just pray with the women. We feed them, give them something to eat, share the word of God with them. We knocked on the door and this lady named Veronica, and you know she's in prostitution. She's never answered her door. This particular time she answered her door and she was broken and she was ready and she was weeping and she was crying and she was saying she wanted to change. And we led her through the sinner's prayer and she received Christ into her life.
Well, Jay says, where is all the people in East St. Louis at? They're at the crack houses in the crack corners. So Jay says, well, let's go. And I know how Peter felt when it was time to step out of the boat, because we step into troubled waters. There are gangbangers there, prostitutes, drug dealers, and here's these two guys coming out with a cooker. And we step right in the middle of it. But just like Peter, Jesus was there.
The Lord said, Jay, there are hundreds of men roaming these streets and they're sheep without a shepherd. He said, I want you to be their shepherd. And I said, well, how do we reach them? He said, I want you to feed them and clothe them. And he said, you don't ask for anything in return, you just love them. It's a no-brainer, it's just hands-on ministry. You don't want Jesus would do, and that's just loving people. You know, Jesus said, if you catch the fish, I'll clean them. And one of the things I've learned is you love Jesus in them, and you love the hell out of them. And that is because they live hellish lives. And so you just got to love them.
For kids growing up, it's their memories. Somebody helped them along the way. So hopefully they will in turn help somebody else.
My goal long term is, the next 3 years, is to build a still building at seat 600 that can be used for multi-purpose different things, bringing in teams that can stay there, having interns there. This is a city of 31,000 people. The city is very spread out. One church is not going to work here. This is a city that we could plant four churches very easy. Why? Because we're Pentecostal. We have a heritage that the city needs because we possess the power of God.
Somebody said to me the other day, we're having another guest speaker. You know, because Jay can say stuff to us that we can't, that I can't say. He's there. And we need to be challenged to get off of our padded pews that do something for Christ. We're going to take an offering for Jay. I'm going to ask ushers. I didn't tell them about this, but take an offering for Jay. But this is not about an offering. I understand. Offering is just an obligation. You know, we're going to do that just to, because I feel like it would be right, you know, to do that. So we can do it with one basket. We're grown-ups. We just pass it, start it down one row, go this way. That's fine. But I want to do, somebody got a hat or something like that? But it wouldn't be church if we didn't have a basket. Somebody got a hat we could use? Over here, somebody got a hat. There you go. Use that hat. It's a White Sox hat? Oh, man. Oh, here we go. We got baskets here, so we won't offend. We want the Cub fans to give, too. Father, bless this offering. Let it be used for your kingdom, Father. We want to bless Jay, Father, and we want to bless this ministry. We pray that you would use it in Christ's name. Amen. If you need to make a check out, make it out to Christian Life Center or CLC, and we'll make sure it gets to Jay. One of the great things about Jay's ministry is that it embodies the love of Christ, and it takes the ministry of Christ more than just a flash in the pan. It takes it right to the street and right to people's hearts and then sits down with them. That's incarnational ministry. It's the ability to become the Word made flesh. And that's the challenge that God has to us. That's the challenge God is putting on our hearts. And someone says, do we have missionaries to come so we can give them offerings so we can support them? No! We have them to come to show you what we're supposed to be doing. He's not a special person. People in ministry aren't special people. They're people who've taken the call of God and the challenge of the Scripture seriously in their life, and they've stepped up. It couldn't be more true what Jay said, what he said. It's about obedience and faith. I don't know what it is that God is challenging you in your life, but I suspect somewhere in that challenge that God is giving to you, that there's something in that that's about you stepping up and being God's man or God's woman in that place where you're at. I believe that. I believe God is calling us to that place. And as soon as we get done with these baskets here, we're going to pray and ask God that He'll show us what we need to do to stand up, to speak up, to believe, and then take that step of faith. Amen. Father, this morning, as we get ready to launch out of here, Lord God, some of us will say, oh, church is over. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us because the church is just beginning. We're beginning to be sent out into this world. And there is a great harvest field around us, Lord. And there are people who we work with and who we live next to that we need to reach with the gospel of Jesus. I pray, Father, that you would embolden your people. The Holy Spirit that we talked about last week, Lord, let that live inside of us so that we can have spiritual power to be your witnesses to this earth. We are challenged, Lord God, by people who take you at your word. We know that you're a God who hears and answers prayer. We know it, Lord. We've experienced it in our own lives, Lord. Now that we're comfortable, Lord, don't let us stall here, Father God. Because a stall is as good as a free fall, Lord God. Launch us from this place to change our world. Deliver us from our religious spirit, Lord God. Launch us into the world around us, Lord God. Father, break our hearts for the broken. Give us tears, Lord, for the hardened heart, Lord God. May we hit our knees, Lord God, for those that are so wounded in their hearts, Father. So wounded, Father God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you never blamed. You never blamed. You saw men as victims of their own lives. And Lord, there are so many victims around us. May we reach into this world, Lord God, with the love of Christ. We pray it in Jesus' name. We pray it in Jesus' name. Challenge our hearts. Challenge us, oh God.